Join Ustad Feridun Mujaddedi as he guides us on a journey of spiritual enlightenment through the profound contributions of two remarkable poets, Rumi and Iqbal. At the age of five, Mujaddedi began to memorize poems by Rumi and other great poets. His love of poetry continued to grow and eventually developed into a passion and calling that would allow him to teach regular classes on Rumi. Discover how Rumi and Iqbal's messages revolve around two themes: self-discovery as a pathway to realizing one's true potential, and the importance of connecting with God through this journey of introspection.
Welcome to the Bradford Literature Festival. We're on this beautiful event today, Rumi and Iqbal, Divine Love. And before I get into mentioning about Feridun, love is a very beautiful subject. You can have an academic view to it, and then you can have one those who are lovers. And the stories from the lovers is a completely different experience. And I've known Feridun, subhanAllah, Ustad Feridun, for many years, for over 25, almost 30 years now. I just want to ask every single one of you to show a hand. Who knows who Sheikh Hamza is today? Just a show of hands. Pretty much everyone. When Sheikh Hamza left Mauritania and he came back to California in the Santa Clara Bay area, it was Feridun who discovered Sheikh Hamza and asked him that he should teach the local community. It was Feridun, our Ustad, who convinced Sheikh Hamza to take up the positions as the Imam. And back in the day, he was known as Imam Hamza. It was Sheikh Feridun who also tirelessly convinced Sheikh Hamza to start the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ by giving a discourse. And then he diligently, with love, and the word I'm going to now use is ishq, with ishq of the path and the people of the path, like Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. And he recorded every single session on cassette. Now, those people back in the 90s know what I'm talking about. And it was not an easy task. And he recorded every single one of those seerah programs that today we are benefiting from, 25, 30 years on. So ishq is not a moment. Ishq, real ishq, is a continuation in pursuit of subservience to the Creator of Allah. And if I just read, I mean, most of you have read this, but this man has lived it. And I've experienced it with him. He's one of my dearest friends. And I didn't know I was going to be here. But something, you know, the divine destinies of Allah brings us together. And what I've always experienced from him, and I think it's so befitting that he's doing this event, and he's speaking about Rumi and about divine love, because he's living that experience. And when you listen to him, don't listen with your mind, but listen with your heart, and it will transform. And just briefly, Sheikh Ustad Feridun Mujaddedi is one of the best known and most respected community leaders and academics in the Bay Area in California. He guides us on journeys of spiritual enlightenment through profound contribution of two remarkable poets, Rumi and Iqbal. At the age of five, he began to memorize poems by Rumi and other great poets. His love for poetry continues to grow and eventually developed into a passion and calling that allows him to teach regular classes on Rumi throughout California, the US, the UK, Canada, Australia, Malaysia, Germany, and even as far as Konya in Turkey, where Maulana Jalalu Rumi is laid to rest. Despite emerging in vast historical contexts, both Rumi and Iqbal transcends their respective challenges by embracing the concept of divine love. Discover how their message revolves around the two central themes of self-discovery as a pathway to realizing one's true potential and the importance of connecting with God through the journey of introspection. I give you Ustad Feridun, inshallah, jazakumullah khair. There'll be a time at the end for Q&A as well, so if you can leave your questions at the end. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair, Sidi. Thank you. Appreciate it. Very generous introduction. He stayed at my house for about, I think, 3 weeks during the rahla, because he didn't want to stay in the tents with the other students. And it was the three most difficult weeks of my life.
It's true.
First of all, I couldn't understand a word he was saying, the British accent. I needed a translator, so we brought a Canadian translator who stayed with us, and he was telling me what he was saying.
But this is a true story.
It's a true story, yeah. And I saved his life in California from a murder. So it's true.
It's a true story.
Okay, there you go. So he owes me a lot. Alhamdulillah.
All I can say is, what kind of a deen intensive is it?
Yes, exactly. Alhamdulillah. The topic is very beloved to me personally because two of my favorite poets. I have my oldest brother who reads only two poets, and he's been doing that for I say about 40 years full time. That's his job, and he just reads 3 hours in the night, 2 hours in the daytime, and then reflects throughout the day on these two poets. One is Abdul Qadir Bedil, rahmatullah alayh, the great Persian poet of India, is one of the latest. And then the second one is the Masnavi of Rumi. So if I call him and I have a question about any of those two, he will entertain it. If I mention the name of any other poet, he gets upset. He's like, why are you even mentioning those names? I can't mention Hafiz. I can't mention Sa'di. I can't mention Iqbal. I can't mention anybody. He's really drowned in it, and he has a point. He's like, is there anything in that Mawlana left that you have to go to somebody else? Just study that. So he does Khatm of the Masnavi in the Diwan al-Shams, and he has done so many. He goes over it and over the whole book. He just does, that's his life. For me, I kind of like to spend time with different poets. Obviously, Mawlana Rumi, once you get into it, you can't get out. I like to open the Diwan of Hafiz and then spend some time with that. Depending on the mood and what you're going through, sometimes you feel brokenhearted. Sometimes you feel like you just need some sweetness in your life. Just open Diwan of Hafiz and it's like sugar just coming down from the heavens. Sometimes you feel like you need some wisdom in life. How do you deal with your children? How do you deal with your spouse? How do you deal with your family, your friends, the community? Then you open the Gulistan of Sa'di, it's like gives you advice that just melts your heart. But when you open the Diwan of Iqbal Rahmatullah Alayhi, you see kind of like a continuation of what Mawlana Rumi started. So he is truly his student. And the reason why, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that this student-teacher relationship is real because of the poetry. When I read it, sometimes I'm like, is this Rumi or Iqbal? If somebody sent me a poem of Iqbal reading it, I have to really think about it. But if any other poet, if you send me a poem, I would know like, automatically, oh, that's Hafiz style. That's Sa'di. This is Parveen Ehtisami. Because you can kind of see the genre and see the style of writing and see the feelings of those poets. I'll give you an example. No poet in the history of Persian poetry has written a poem that Parveen Ehtisami wrote, the great contemporary. She died in the 30s. The poem that she wrote on faqr, on poverty, because it's written by a woman. And some people told me, why don't you memorize that poem? I said, I can't even read that poem because I can't sleep that night. I cry at every line. How am I going to memorize that poem? And it's really incredible. So if I see, I know if it's written by Parveen Ehtisami, a poem. But Iqbal and Rumi are so connected that some of the poems are really just, wow. It's just like, awe-inspiring. This is his Farsi Diwan, which is the Diwan, the bulk of his poetry. The Urdu selection that he has, like Bala Jibril and Shikwa and Jawab Shikwa, they are incredible as well. But he did say that Urdu is really sweet, it's beautiful language. But Tarz-e Guftari Dari, Shirin Tarast. But Persian is sweeter. And that's the reason why he wrote his major Diwan in Farsi language. And that was one of the genius of Iqbal, because he wanted to be connected to Sa'di, to Hafiz, to Rumi, to all of them. So it's a chain that he wanted to be part of. And this is what every poet wanted to be part of, right? This is what Rumi wanted to be part of, the silsila of Shams, to be connected to that. But the subject is love. And the problem with love is definition. The problem with love is definition. How do you define love? Shakespeare defined it as what love is not, right? In Sonnet 114, he said, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark. What is that fixed mark, right? Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle compass comes. So love is not love if you're in love with somebody and they have the rosy lips and the cheeks. And once they don't have it, then you're no longer in love with them. That is not love. And Maulana said, and I actually believe that Shakespeare must have had access to something from the Persian literature, because there's a lot of stuff in his works that, yeah, did he get this from Maulana Rumi? Maulana said, "Ishq-hay kaspay rangi buad, ishq nabuad, aqibat nangi buad." All of those love that are for rosy lips and cheeks, for these colorful, beautiful faces, that's not love. If you call that love, it's in humiliation rather being a love. And what does it mean by humiliation? That the greatest humiliation is when love humiliates you. When love humiliates you. But Iqbal Rahmatullah Ali, his understanding of love was that lovers, the nature of lovers is that they don't stop working. They don't stop working. They constantly work. That's the nature of love. Lovers are not lazy. They are not lazy and they're not cowards. It's the nature of lovers. You have to be brave and you can't be lazy. You have to work. Lovers are up at night crying. Lovers are, you know, when you fall in love, is you can't sit still. You're always moving. It's the nature of lover. And if you're not moving, your heart is constantly moving, right? With the dhikr of Layla. Everybody's doing the dhikr of their Layla all the time. This is the nature of love. So what Iqbal is saying, that when you come across with your beloved, when you get high on that station, khudi ko kar buland itna ki har taqdeer se pehle, khuda bande se khud poochhe, bata tere raza kya hai. So work, 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 until you get to that station. This is the 100th station in the path, on the path of tasawwuf, spirituality, that you get to that level, that high station, where they go to fana and then baqa. Most of the people of tasawwuf, they talk about fana, annihilation. Gar fana khahi, ze khud azad cho, Iqbal said. If you want to become fana, be free from yourself. Abandon the self, abandon the ego. War baqa khahi, ba khud abad cho. One of the most genius line in the Persian literature. He said, but if you want baqa, then build yourself. Build it yourself. Climb up on the ladder of life yourself. Because you have, at the end of the day, if you have nothing, you have yourself. You will always have yourself. And the self is always with you. Use this vehicle to rise and to go. So he said, rise in this station to the degree when you reach your beloved, when you reach the ultimate beloved, Allah, and he asks you, oh, my servant, you reached the station. Tell me, how do you want your destiny to be written? Tell me, right? Tell me, how do you want it to be written? But Iqbal didn't give the answer, right? He left it kind of ambiguous in there, right? Asking the God at this point, the beloved is asking. What is he saying? You work, you got here, beautiful. Now tell me, what do you want? Oh, my lover, what do you want? How do you want me to write your destiny? Tell me. Why does Iqbal leave that like that hanging at that moment? What is the answer? What do you think is the answer is? You know what the answer is? Here's the answer of the lover. The answer of a lover is, I love it exactly how you wrote my destiny. Don't change anything because you wrote it. I don't want any change. I don't want destiny to be written according to my understanding. I want you to write it, and whatever you want to write in it, I'm fine with it. Not only I'm fine with it, I love it. Rumi said, "Rishtei dar gardanam afkanda dust mi kashad harsu ke khater khay dust." He said, "My beloved has put a rope around my neck." You know, we put it around dogs and cats, so we take them with us. He said, "My beloved has put a rope around my neck, and is taking me anywhere he wants, and I just follow. I'm fine with it." That's love. Love, there is no question and answer, right? There's no question and answer. There is no koi falsafa nahi ishq ka jahan dil jhuki wahi sar jhuka.
Subhanallah.
This is iqbal. There is no, the true philosophy of love is when the heart leads, the intellect follows. Where the heart leads, the intellect follows. Wahi haath jod ke bheja, na sawal kar, na jawab. Hold on, and it's incredible. Hold on tight. This is, you have to pay attention to the word. Hold on tight. It's like you're going on a ride. You have to hold on tight when you go to an amusement park. He's saying, hold your hand tight because this is going to be the most incredible ride of your life. Hold on tight. Don't ask any question and don't answer. In other words, this, where did he get this from? This is from Rumi. He got this inspired by Rumi. When Rumi came face to face with love and he had the question and answer, this is the Q&A with love. And love, every time it answers it, it said at the end, don't say anything. Stop talking. Stop philosophizing. Stop. Just stop. And this is why Rumi starts his book with Vishnu. Listen. Because listening is the adab of learning. It is the art of learning. Listening is through listening that you enter the heart of your beloved. If you always speak, you don't give any room for your beloved to speak and you don't hear the beloved. So listen, right? So Rumi explains love differently. He said, چون قلم اندر نوشتن می شتافت چون به عشق آمد قلم بر خود شکافت. He said, pen has only one purpose in its existence. All of us, we have, like, we are human beings. We were created to worship God. Everything has a purpose in life. The chair was created for people to sit on, right? Everything has a purpose. He said the pen was created to write. So when it's fulfilling that purpose, it's happy. I fulfilled my purpose. I'm being used for the purpose I was created. He said when the lover picked up the pen and started writing, the pen went in haste and it started writing. But when it came to the word love, it fell and broke apart. It couldn't take it, right? Another place he says that, why don't you, O pen, write the letter Ayn, Sheen, and Qaf? And the pen writes it. And then said, O pen, why don't you now join them and connect them? And he says, if I do that, my heart would burst. I can't connect. Then it becomes a reality. It becomes a reality. So Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi and Rumi, both of them saw this love, that the ultimate, the greatest love is the love of your creator, is the love of Allah, and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Iqbal, wo kamali husni huzur hai ki gumane naqs jahan nahi, yahi pool khar se dur hai, yahi shamai ka dua nahi. This is the perfection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kamal. This is the kamal, the perfection of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he? He is the candle without the smoke, right? Because all candles, they illuminate. There are people who illuminate, have light. But what happens? Smoke comes out as well from the candle, right? And he's the only rose without thorn. Every rose has a thorn, except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the level. And then the love of Allah, obviously, is the ultimate love. But Mawlana Rumi, I'm going to tell you a story from the Masnavi, how he defines love. Because first, he gives you really because it's really not easy to define, to give definition. Let me tell you a story about the greatest lover that you heard about in your literature, which is the story of Layla Majnun. Everybody knows Layla Majnun, right? Show of hand. Anybody? Heard Layla Majnun. Layla Majnun is, you know, they asked me when I was in Australia, I wrote the play Layla Majnun. I was in a radio interview and they said, what is Layla Majnun? Is because they have heard Romeo. Says, is it like Romeo and Juliet? I said, is Romeo and Juliet on fire? So, but that's what it is. It's really Romeo and Juliet on fire. And that fire is pure, very pure fire. So Layla Majnun, the story of the Najdi, girl from Najd, from a low tribe of Najd, and then you have from Bani Amir, this Qais, the handsome man of Qais, falling in love with not very pretty girl of Najd. High tribe boy, he's athlete, he's rich, his father's the head of the tribe, falls in love with this person from Najd, which they look down upon that tribe, and the girl is very super dark skin. That's why they say Layla is from Layl, and she's really not attractive at all. So he falls in love, and he loses his sanity, and he becomes Majnun. His name is not Majnun. His name is Qais. Majnun became the title for this lover, and this is why now when somebody really falls in love, oh, he became a Majnun, right? So he becomes a Majnun for Layla, right? And then he leaves the city. He's kicked out of the city. Everybody makes fun of him. And he's in a desert with animals. And he's just there. And then one day, there's a dog. And he says, and Rumi tell bring this story that Majnun sees this dog and goes towards this dog. And he says, Hamchu Majnun, ku sagi ra mi nawakht, busash mi dad, pishash mi gudakht. گرد او میگاش خوازه در تواف هم جلاب شکرش میداد صاف. He saw, Majnun saw this dog and run towards it. And he saw, oh my God, he started kissing this dog. And Maulana says, a dirty dog too. Is kissing this dog and is hugging this dog. And then he's going around this dog and looking at the dog from all perspective. He's literally scanning this dog, right? And then he has this rose water, and he starts feeding the dog with this rose water that he has. Bulfazuli goof, kay Majnun akham, in chi shayd as in ki mi ari mudam. A man passed by and says, oh, you a fool, you stupid madman. What is wrong with you? Why do you behave this way? What is it that, what are you doing? Fuzasak daim pelidi mi khorad. Don't you know this dog? It licks his own behind. And it's always in the feces, his mouth. And you're hugging and you're kissing it. This is incredible advice. Because Rumi always, when he tells his story, he pauses in the middle of the story. Then he comes in. He gives you an advice. Then he disappears and starts the story again. So now Rumi comes in. He said, this man saw all of the aib, the deficiency. Ayn, ya, ba. Aib, deficiency. He said, saw all of the deficiencies of the dog. He said, the one who doesn't see the ghaib, they can only see aib. And the difference between ghaib, the unseen, and aib, deficiency is only a dot. You put a dot on top of the ayn, it becomes ghaib. He said, the one who doesn't see the unseen, only can see deficiency. Now, this man says all these horrible things about this dog. Why are you kissing it? Why are you doing this? And then the man says, then Majnun returns. And he said, Gov Majnun tu haman naqshi watan, andarawu bingarash as chashme man. So Majnun said, your problem, my friend, is that you're looking at the form and the outward manifestation of things. Why don't you come become Majnun for a moment and look at this dog? From Majnun's perspective, Kin Talisme Bastei Maula Osteen, Pasabani Kuche Leila Osteen, this dog. He said, this dog, he must receive some kind of ilham or something, some kind of inspiration from the heaven. Because of all of the streets of Najd, this dog picked to be the watchdog of the neighborhood of Layla. This is the essence of love. Himmatash bino dilo jano shanakht ku kuja bigzid wa maskangah sakh. Look at the himma of this dog. Look at the aspiration of this dog. Look at the heart of this dog. Look at the ma'rifah of this dog. That, do you know that this is the watchdog of the street of Layla? On sagi ki boshadan dar kui u man bashiran kainaha yak mui u. Said my friend, any dog that passes on the street of Layla, I wouldn't trade it for 1,000 lions. I wouldn't trade it for 1,000 lions. And then Rumi comes in and he says something really incredible. He said, "Ey kashiron marsaganash ra ghulam, goft imkan nist khamush wa salam." He says, "I have no word, no speech to explain this situation. What is this valley? What is this valley where the lions are the servants of dogs? And this is the valley of love. This is the valley of love because no matter what, if you love someone, you, and this is the problem of modern day love. If you love someone, you love everything about that person. You love everyone that's connected to that person. If Majnun loves the dog that passes by the neighborhood of Layla and kissing it and hugging it and giving his life water just because it passed, is the watchdog of the neighborhood of Layla. This is real ishq. But now telling you this story, this is called ilm al-yaqeen wa ayn al-yaqeen. So he took you from ilm al-yaqeen, told you a story, and then he showed you Majnun coming into the play. Now he's going to take it to haqq al-yaqeen. And he says something really incredible. He says there are two types of love. He says this is the living, what we call the love that is living, and the love that is dead, what we call eternal and ephemeral. So there are things you fall in love with, it's ephemeral. There's things that expires, right? You're in love with your car. So one day it's going to die out and you're going to trash it. It's going to go to waste, right? You're in love with a pair of clothing and you wear it out and you throw it away. These are the ephemeral thing that expires. But then there's the love of the eternal, right? The love of the eternal that doesn't expire. So he says, one is a living love, one is a dead love. And he says, ishq zanda, ishq hayya lo yamut. The living love, the eternal love is the love of al-hay who never dies. So Allah's name is al-hay. One of his name is al-hay, the living who never dies. Ishq murda misl bayt ankabut. The love of the dead things, he said, is similar to a spider's web. A spider's web is incredible in its design and its work, but there's no substance to it. There is no quwa. There's nothing. You can go like this and you can get rid of years of work, literally. It doesn't stand on anything. And then he says, let me tell you my love. Now he can't explain, he can't define it, but he's going to tell you. He said, farq dar majnoon o dar man in nigar. He said, the difference between Majnun and me is only one thing. He said, both of us are desperately seeking. He is seeking his Layla, I'm seeking my Mawla. Majnun and his Layla, both of them died and they become the dirt of the earth. This is the nature of falling in love with dirt. This is the nature of falling in love with dirt, right? Kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab. All of you are from Adam, and Adam is from the dirt of the earth, from the soil of this earth. We're all from the earth, right? Har ki bashad ashiq maulay man, bashad andar jan man laylay man. Whoever is in love with my Mawla, then they are in my heart, my Layla. He's teaching us who to love and why to love those people. Whoever loves Allah, we love them. This is why we love our shuyukh. This is why we love our teachers, our scholars, because they love Allah. Because they have a living love in their heart, not a dead love that expires. So Rumi tried to teach us in this story is the true love is a love that works with everything that's around the beloved. And if we really follow these type of teachings, you never have any issues in your family life. Majority of the people, they have problems with their in-laws, right? Because, I just wanted to marry this boy or this girl, and then I didn't know that the in-laws are going to be a problem. But he's teaching us, no, you really didn't love her. You really didn't love him. Because if you did, they cannot be worse than the dog of the nudged. They can't be worse than the dog on the street of nudged. And yet Majnun, what did he do with that dog? What did he do with that dog? So coming back to the story of love in Aql, right? Subh azal ye mujhe kaha Jibreel ne, jo aql ka gulam ho, wo dil na kar qabool. And Jibreel told me, at the onset of creation, Iqbal said, whoever is a slave of their own intellect, aql, don't accept them. Don't fall in love with those people, right? So you have to really, Rumi said, bayat ki jumla jaan shavi, ta laiqe jaanan shavi. He said, you have to become all soul in order to be worthy of the one who gave you that soul. You have to abandon the nafs, the ego and the desire. This is the lower self. And Iqbal incredibly said, if you can't abandon the desire, then train your nafs. It's like a horse. Ride it and use it to get to the highest level of your journey. Because all of us, we are on this journey, and everybody has different aspirations. Some people want to go to step 10. Some people want to go to 20. Some people want to go to 100. Everybody has a different goal in life. But wherever you're going, Iqbal is telling you that you have to really ride the nafs and control it. This is a beast, incredible beast. Ride it and get there. Ride it and get there. And Mawlana says that if you can't, try to just put it aside. At least don't let it become a barrier. Because the barrier is real between you and your creator. There's always a barrier, and that barrier is you. In the word of Hafiz Shirazi, Miyana Ashiq Mashuq, Hich Ha'il Nist, Tu Khud Hijab Khudi, Hafiz as Miyan Barkhiz. Between the lover and the beloved, there is no barrier. Oh Hafiz, you are the barrier. Get out of the way. And most of the time, we become the barrier between ourselves and our beloved. And get that out of the way, either by training it and writing it, or controlling it and moving out of the way. And these are the teachings of Allama Iqbal Lahuri, who is really one of the most incredible human beings of the last century. And this is why they call him Allama, which is, we don't have a lot of the Allamas. In the past century, we maybe had like two or three in that subcontinent area. So he's really left us incredible gift. I mean, they got him in trouble, right? For they wanted to really call him a kafir because he gave the shikwa, and then everybody's looking for faults because these are the people who don't see the ghaib. They don't see anything of the unseen. They just see their own nafs and desires. They say, oh, he's wrong, she's wrong. They're looking for faults of people. But when he came, and his shikwa was one thing. His shikwa to Allah was to make people aware of their own nafs. That was the shikwa. He went to Allah, but he's talking about, Ya Allah, we're praying 5 times a day. We are on our horses saying, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Right? We're fighting in your way. We're giving our zakat. We're giving our sadaqah. We are going to our neighbor. We're doing all of these stuff. You asked us, we're doing it. We're fasting in Ramadan. Why are we so humiliated? Why are we in the state that we are in, right? So he just keeps going with these incredible dialogue between him and God, and in order to teach us something really incredible. But at the end, he summarizes everything because this is, again, comes back to the story of ishq. At the end of shikwa and jawab shikwa, comes back to the story of love. And what does he end that book with? Ki Muhammad se wafa, tuni to ham tere hai, ye jaha cheez hai kya. If you are faithful to my Muhammad, to my Prophet, to my Habib, I'm yours. You want the dunya? I'm yours. What do you want the dunya for? I give you the loh and the qalam. I give you the pen and the tablet. You can write whatever you want. What do you want? You want to be victorious? You want to be, what do you want? Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. But just have wafa with my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you become bewafa. You have been unfaithful. You have been unfaithful. Now, even in that moment, what is the proper answer? It's perfect the way you wrote it. I don't want to change it. Allah has not put us here to start worrying about things that we can't control. The only change Allah is asking is to change yourself, because you can't change anybody else, but you can change yourself. تیرے خودی میں اگر انقلاب ہو پیدا عجب نہیں ہے کہ یہ چار سو بدل جائے. If there is a change within you, there is a revolution, a spiritual revolution within you, then it is possible that your surrounding will change. But as long as we don't change ourselves, there's not going to be any change. And that change is to turn your heart toward Al-Wadud, towards a loving God. One of the names of Allah is Al-Wadud, the loving God. And one of the other names of God is At-Tawwab, the one who accepts the turning of your heart, right? Of your heart. And this is when the Sahaba went to Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asked her, what is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the most in sajda? What a brilliant question to ask from the right person. This is the wife who lived with the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, as you know, tahajjud is part of his daily prayer. And she said, the dua that he made the most in sajda, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, the turner of the hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. Allah is the turner of the hearts. And Allah is also a tawab who, when you turn, when in reality Allah turns your heart, he accepts it. Because he's al-wadud, he's a loving God. And this is what the message of Iqbal in Mawlana Rumi and all of the poets is, that you have a loving God. Live a life filled with love. That Allah put more love in your life, with your children, with your spouse, with your family, with your friend, with your community, with your neighbors. Just make love permeate in every single cell of your body, that you cannot even react except with love. And that is the insan al-kamil, the one who sees everything through the lens of love. And if you take the lens of love out, another lens will come. Lens of anger, lens of kibar, lens of hasad, lens of envy. There's so many lenses that you can put on, and you have seen the plethora of people in different lenses that came into your life. But the lens of love is the best lens, because with love, everything is perfect at every moment. One of the poets said, if all of the Jaziratul Arab go to war, Layla and Majnun are at peace all the time. They never go to war. Right? There's no way they can fight each other, because they don't have any nafs to fight each other. Their nafs is annihilated in each other. So may all of you fall in love, inshallah. May all of you be people of God, and Allah illuminate your hearts and make you amongst the people that he's happy. Prophet ﷺ is proud of all of us on the Day of Judgment. JazakAllah khair. I don't even know what the time it is. Yeah, and I'm sorry, yeah, they left my note at the hotel and I can't go back. So I just
had to. I'm doing that. Okay, do we have any questions in the audience before we start? Okay, just think about a question and then raise your hand. I want to say, first of all, Jazakumullah khair for that beautiful insight of muhabba and ishq. And like I said, one of the things that I learned personally on a personal level when we're traveling and to find ourselves, this introspection, it's a very difficult thing to do. It's very easy to say, to really put yourself to account. And when I met Sidi Faridun, wallahi, I didn't know him. I only heard of him, right? And we saw his tapes and everything else. He picked me up from the airport, didn't know me, put me in his house, and all I saw was ishq in motion. We read it in the books. Wallahi, I'm not saying it because he's my friend, and he is. I love him to
bits. I paid him for this. Go ahead. Keep saying it. You're doing a good job.
He's given me an upgrade this time. But on a really serious note, you to learn muhabba and ishq, you have to sit with the people of ishq. It's not found in books. And that's what I realized when I went to Sidi Faridun and went to California. And then I saw ishq in motion of how he was devoted with Sheikh Hamza. And I was thinking of Jalaluddin Rumi, and I was thinking, subhanAllah, this is it. I'm witnessing it. And this is 30 years on, and it's still there. And this is the thing about pure and real, in a quintessential way of saying true love. It doesn't, there's no highs and lows. It's constant. So I want to ask Sidi Faridun, we want to be on this path with you. How do we even begin for all of us wayfarers that have lost our ways?
We are all on the path at the beginning. I mean, inshallah, hopefully we are on it. For Mawlana Rumi, has, you know, there's a spiritual master. They divided they did a roadmap. It's actually translated in English. Khawaja Abdullah Ansari was the first one to do it. Ibn Arabi took from him. He died 481 Hijri. And he wrote a book called Manazir al-Sa'irin. And then he wrote the same book in Persian called Sad Maidan, The 100 Steps to God. So the first step is Toba. The 99th step is Fana. The 100th step is Baqa. And then you get all of the other stuff in the middle, you know, Muruwa, and then you get to Muraqiba and Musha, all of these steps. But one of the things that I really love about Rumi's understanding of this 100 steps to God, like he said, Palla Palla Ta Mulaqat Khuda, step by step until you get to the divine presence, is that when you turn and make Toba and repent, and you put your foot on the first step, you're already at the 100th step. You just don't know it. Everybody's there. For as long as you don't turn back. And I give you an example just to, you go to a job interview and they interview you and they say, yeah, okay, yeah, come back, go see the secretary. And then they will arrange for the second and third interview. We'll see how it goes. So you leave. Here's the two CEOs sitting there. Goes, oh, what do you think about Abdullah? Yeah, he's hired. He's a great guy. Let him do. So they hire Stamp. You don't know that you're hired. You still have to do the second interview, do the third interview, get your medical exams, get all the paper. You're going through this, and then you're all stressing out. Am I getting this job? Am I not getting this job? Am I getting this job? So this takes another 2-3 months period until you get this job. But you were hired already on that first interview. So what Rumi is saying, in the first step when you make Tawbah, you're already there. The rest of it is just the protocol you have to go through. It's just a protocol. You have to go through this because it's the generosity of Allah. As long as you're sincere in your Tawbah. And Tawbah is like a chemistry lab. Literally, Tawbah is a chemistry lab that brings you when you turn towards a Tawab. And that creates gold. It just changes you from inside and from outside. People who make Tawbah, you can see it in their face. You can see it in their walk. You can see it in their talk. Because now they're worried about their speech. They don't want to say, you know, when we talked to Rumi, I had that story. We did it I think in Nottingham or somewhere. But he has that story about this man who's in love. And he goes to the house of the beloved. He says, knocks on the door. And beloved says, who's at the door? He says, I at the door. He goes, go away. You're too raw. This is the house of where people who are cooked will come in. Go away. There's no room for two eyes in this house. So kicks him out. And then he goes and he's spending a year in the desert. And then he gets cooked and he comes back. But when he comes back, the only difference is he is full of adab. He went to knock, but his heart was beating. He was scared. He was shivering. So nothing might slip out of his tongue that has no adab, no manner. So he's not even knocking or speaking. That is a person who makes Tawbah, who repents. They're worried about their speech now. They're worried about their walk. They worry about, did I just hit somebody? Did I harm another creation of God? Where's the ethar? Did I prefer so-and-so over myself? That's the Tawbah. When everything about you is changed, right? Everything. You know, it's one of the story of the Sahaba. It's incredible. When he brought a tray of dating, he was passing to the Sahaba. And one of the Sahaba was looking and to pick. And you know, we look for the pick. And he said, brother, they're all good. Just pick one. He said, no. I'm looking for the worst one so my brother can have the better one. That is that when you're so consciously aware of who you are, why you're here, who are these people around you? That is the insan al-kamil. That is insan al-kamil. So if you're on that path, you know, your neighbor loves you. Because, you know, I had a neighbor, and, you know, subhanAllah, like 2 weeks ago, I've never seen handwriting so beautiful in my life, because now people can't even write anymore. Handwritings are so ugly. Like, I was like, whoa, like, who's that? Must be moving into California from Great Britain. But she wrote a, we took our garbages out. We put the garbages back. You guys call it bin?
Yeah, we call it bin. The real word.
This guy,
the rubbish bin.
Before that, don't let me forget.
Are we going to go to the boot?
So we're in California. He's like, I need this serotape, Sheikh Hamza. It just came out. I want to take 20 with me to America. So, okay, I'll bring you. So I bought this huge box of Sierra cassettes. I'm getting up sweating. I'm like, Siri, can you, where are you going to put this? He goes, put in the booth.
They all understand it. Look at that. All of you understand that,
what
right? It's in the boot.
I'm like,
he took his shoe off at that time.
Shoes, like boot, right? I'm like, put in my boot. Like, what am I? And I'm holding this, and I finally really got upset. I said, Rifa, I'm going to drop this. I said, you're breaking my boot. You said, put in the boot. Put in the boot. I said, put in the boot. I said, what the heck is a boot? I don't know what a boot is. It is like that thing in the back. I said, oh, the trunk. And then, oh, the trunk. There's an elephant. It has a trunk. And then you're making fun of me.
There was an elephant around, but, you know.
Put in the boot.
Yeah. SubhanAllah. Look, this
is, where was I?
For the neighbor.
Neighbor. So I picked up, I look at our garbage, our bin doesn't have a number on it. It got erased over the years. You know, they have the number of the house. Like there's 3-4 that doesn't have the number of the house on it. But they have this long number that's printed. So I don't know the long number, but I just took the last, it was the last one. So, okay, this is obviously, I don't even have to look. I put the thing there. We put the trash inside, put it behind on the side of our house. It's like a condo. Everybody's in it. The next day, I see this incredible note, so beautifully written. It goes, "Dear neighbor, I'm so sorry for taking your bin accidentally. Please forgive me. It won't happen again." Now, first of all, I wouldn't even know that she took ours because hers doesn't have a number. Mine doesn't have a number on it. It's already, so anybody can. And everybody put their trash in there. Like, literally, I was like, this is a neighbor. This is a neighbor. So beautiful. That is a hallmark of a person who's on this path. That's the hallmark. Like, it's just you're even something as low as taking somebody's bin accidentally, you make it beautiful. When a person, then I went, I told my wife, I took a picture, I sent to my, you know, I just sharing that. I said, look at this. This is beautiful. This is human being at his best, right? So that's the path. So if you're on the path, everything is perfect. Yeah, and then you don't see any faults. You don't see aib. Because now you're seeing the ghaib, you're seeing the unseen. You're seeing the mysteries unveiled in front of you. The mystery of your wife, the mystery of your husband, the mystery of your children, the mystery of your neighbor, the mystery of, you know, because everybody is a saint walking unaware of their reality. Each and every one of us, we have a saint inside. We all do. We have the potential to be a saint. We're just unaware of it. Some people work towards that, right? And then they reach the goal. Some people, they don't cultivate it. And that saint inside of them dies, right? They become who? And everybody has really a shaitan, like the nafs, that you could be a Satan. There are devils on this planet in the clothing of human beings. Right? There are people like that because they just shun their saintliness and they give water to their devil side. And we have those both potential. And that's why everybody has a house, castle in paradise and a place in hell. You choose where you want to go. It's the choice is all ours, right? And that's why Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi, when he was asked about, oh, should we worry about how it all started, our beginning or our end, right? He said, خردمندو سے کیا پوچھو کہ میرے ابتدا کیا ہے کہ میں اس فکر میں رہتا ہوں میرے انتہا کیا ہے. This is, he said, you guys are all talking about how it all began. Let's talk about the Big Bang Theory. Let's talk about what happened. He said, listen, all control that I have right now is how am I going to have an end? What is my end going to be, right? And this is the dua that the best dua to ask for, Ya Allah bi husnil khatima. Oh my Lord, give me a good ending. Just give me a good ending that you go like a champion to your Lord. And that's the insan al kamil. That this is yours. You're all you worried about your end. And the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever make all their anxiety, one anxiety of meeting their Lord, Allah will remove all their anxiety in this dunya. As long as you just don't think about the anxiety of this and that, just your anxiety, how am I going to meet my Lord on the day of judgment? Then God will remove your anxiety of the world. But if you don't, then we have all these anxieties that we are thinking about 1,000 things every day. And most of those things, you will not come across. They say Sayyidina Ali, right? There's also the Stoics, you know, Epictetus, the same thing. All of the spiritual path in the past and in the present, they all say the same thing. But many of all of these things that is in our head, most of them, we don't come across head to head with them. You never experience it. Oh, is this going to happen? What happens to my this? What happened to that? What happened? 10% of it might happen. 90% don't happen. Right? It's just anxiety. Remove all of those. Just think about your Lord. You're going to stand in front. And he's going to ask you questions. You ready?
I was going to say, anyone's got any question? Just raise your hands now. Okay.
Yeah, I think we don't have time, right?
One question.
Last question.
Can I access the original beautiful Farsi? Is there any particular translation that you'd recommend? And the second question related to that, are you related to Javed Mujaddidi?
Okay. The second question first. We're related. terms of our family relationship, blood relationship, right? Sometimes blood relationship is, you know, Iqbal said, "Khun ki rishton mein agar hote muhabbat, Yusuf na bikta Misr ki bazaron mein." So, but we are not like that. I haven't met him.
You better translate
that. He hasn't told me on the streets of Egypt. Yeah, he said, if, for non-Urdu speaker, Iqbal said that if love was based on blood relation, then Prophet Joseph wouldn't be sold on the streets of Egypt for like 20 dirham. That's what they sold him to 20, for 20 dirham as a slave. But anyways, we're related, good man, great man. He did incredible work in terms of translation. I always praise his translation because it's rhymed in English. He did about 20,000 lines so far. It's the last book. It's going to be out. I don't know if book 6 is out yet or not, but it's supposed to be out soon. He did book 1 through 5 already. It's a great translation. I still take Nicholson, your own Nicholson from here, Britain, as one of the best translation of Rumi. And it's the full Masnavi. It's translated. It's academic. It's a little bit dry, but it's very accurate. And his commentary as well is incredible. I do have his commentary and his translation. I have Javed's. I don't read a lot of translations, so I'm not really the right guy to ask for translation. The only person that I would highly recommend is Anne-Marie Chamel, the great German translator, writer on Rumi and Iqbal. Her books are just incredible. So just read her books. They're the best one that I've ever read in terms of Rumi and Iqbal. You know, she spoke, I think, 12 or 13 languages, including Persian, Urdu, Arabic. She's incredible. She was an incredible woman from Berlin. So, and then, and then translations, you know, find a teacher. You know, it's good to read the original in Urdu or in Farsi and then get commentaries.
If they wanted to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you for further evaluation?
If somebody has questions, I always answer emails or if they send a message. I'm not active on social media in terms of active, like I don't post. I only post if they tag me. Some people tag. I don't even know how to post, I think. Very illiterate when it comes to social media and not active. But I do check, honestly, I check my social media every 2 days for about half an hour, just the messenger. Because a lot of people ask me questions from overseas and they have, you know, this line we're studying. Yeah. There's a place in India, they actually, they listen to my classes on Saadi Shirazi in a course that they teach. So they, all those students, they send me a message, oh, this story we read, what does this word mean? So, and then people who have, but please don't send me English quotes and say, can I get the original Farsi? Because most of those quotes are not from
me. So, yeah. Jazakallah. Yeah. We've run out of time, but I have to say a warm, rapturous applause, mashallah. Jazakallah for Sidi Tarun. And I hope we have another opportunity in the future as well. And thanks to the Bradford Literature Festival for this amazing opportunity. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for listening. And thank you to everyone who attended our 2025 Bradford Literature Festival and helped to make it such a success. You'll be able to listen back to some of our selected events in the new series. Coming soon.